all of us make mistakes, and sometimes those mistakes provide an opportunity for learning some very valuable lessons. Back when I was a high school student, I remember changing the oil in my car. And at that time, I forgot to replace the filler cap. And I totally forgot about it, and I started up the car and was driving off to wherever I was headed. I don't even remember where it was. All I remember is I had a big mess on my way there. By such a simple omission, I had a lot to clean up. That's a mistake I can say I've never made since then, and I pray that I never do again. It left an impression on me. Maybe you've had a similar mistake in your life. We do something wrong, but we learn and we move forward a little wiser than we were before. Well, this afternoon, I would like us to look at one of those scenarios from the history of God's people that we read about in the Bible, specifically in the Old Testament book of 2 Samuel. And the lessons we will look at, specifically three lessons today, there are many more, came at the expense of a man who apparently thought that he was doing the right thing. The man's name is Uzzah, and the lessons come in 2 Samuel chapter 6. But before you turn there, we have to go back. We have to set the clock back about approximately 400 years. When Moses presented the original law from God to the people, and let's go to Exodus 25 and verse 13 and 14, where we'll read about some instructions that Moses gave the people, that God had given Moses, about the Ark of the Covenant. Exodus 25, and let's start in verse 13. And you shall make poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold. You shall put the poles into the rings on the sides of the ark, that the ark may be carried by them. The poles shall be in the rings of the ark. They shall not be taken from it. And you shall put into the ark the testimony which I will give you. Seems to be pretty clear instructions. At least in my mind, I read it now. It's very clear. Well, what was this ark? We all know this ark was where God, at that time, said his presence was with his people. This was the place where sins were forgiven under the law. This was the place where the high priest would go in once every year to offer a sacrifice and appeal to God on behalf of his people. Back when the ark was first built, it was carried by the priests through the wilderness. It was kept in the rear room of the tabernacle in the most holy place. And since the tabernacle was designed to move from place to place, so was the ark designed to move as well. It was actually designed with, as we just read, gold-plated rings on each side into which were placed gold-plated wooden poles. And the law was very specific that the men from one particular tribe, the Levites, were to be the only ones to carry the ark. Please turn with me to Numbers chapter 4. We'll see where this is stated, Numbers chapter 4. And verse 15. Numbers 4, verse 15. And when Aaron and his sons have finished covering the sanctuary and all the furnishings of the sanctuary, when the camp is set to go, then the sons of Kohath, who was part of the tribe of Levi, shall come to carry them, but they shall not touch any holy thing, lest they die. These are the things in the tabernacle of meeting which the sons of Kohath are to carry. Well, from what we just read in these two passages, it seems pretty clear that the sons of Kohath, and only the sons of Kohath of the tribe of Levi, were to transport the ark, and that by carrying it, they were to carry it by staves through the rings, these poles. Yet there are commentaries that you'll read that say, well, yeah, that only holds true didn't hold true for them to put it up on a cart, that they could do that until they put it on some kind of transportation. But we can also, we don't have to turn there, but there's verses in Numbers 7-9 that beasts of burden to transport things with wagons and such were given to the rest of the tribe of Levi, but they were not given specifically to the sons of Kohath, because their duty was to carry the ark, not to have the ark carried by a beast of burden. Very specific instructions, and that's the point to take home, is that these are details that God clearly specified in His Word, in His instructions to the people through Moses at that time, and in the Bible that we have today. There are clear instructions, and there are details. And we are obligated to read those details, understand those details. As Mr. Hewitt was saying about the vine, appreciated the fact that you can't just go throw some seeds in the ground and have great produce of grapes. There were details that had to be followed in order to do that. And God's instructions are full of details. God is a being of details. What would happen if God didn't follow details in creating the universe and the earth? And we just look around us. We see nothing but details that bewilder the mind of man. And the greatest scientists today, they don't simply understand it because the details. We have a big overall picture of most of it, but not the details. So we need to get into the details. And we know during the time of Judges that Israel drifted away from God, and they used the ark kind of as a good luck charm when they went to battle against the Philistines. And they didn't talk to God about it and ask Him whether that was the right thing to do. They knew it wasn't the right thing to do because God told them it wasn't the right thing to do by the details before that. And the Philistines captured the ark. Great. The enemy now has our prized possession. And the Philistines thought this was great because they knew that the Israelites worshipped God with His in presence of the ark. So the Philistines took the ark into their own temples and put it before their gods. And if you remember the story, that they came in the next morning and they found the Dagon, the statue of their god, this half fish, half man statue, laying flat on its face, like it was worshiping the ark or worshiping the God of Israel. And they thought, well, this is kind of a coincidence. It must have been a tremor or an earthquake or something knocked the statue down. So they set it back up and tried it again. And then the next morning, the same thing happened, except that its head and its extremities were chopped off. Not so much a coincidence anymore, is it? And he said, well, that was, this is not good at all. We got to get rid of this thing. This is not working out. So they took that ark and they put it on a cart, a new cart, and they hooked it up to some young cows and they set them off free. They didn't tell it, show it where to go or anything else. They let it go. And it was taken back to Israel. And at that time it was taken in, and a number of the Israelites actually looked inside the ark, which was also forbidden, and up to 50,000 people lost their lives because of that. Once again, they ignored details, whether they were didn't know or they just explicitly ignored it. 50,000 people died. Well, after that, the ark stayed at the home of Abinadab for a period of 20 years. And we finally get to the place where I want to get to is in 2 Samuel 6 for the three lessons that I'd like to point out today. In 2 Samuel 6. So please turn with me to 2 Samuel 6. We'll start reading at verse 1, and we'll read through verse 11. It says, "Now David again gathered all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people who were with him to Beul Judah to bring up from there the ark of God, which is called by the name, the very name of the Lord of hosts, who is enthroned above the cherubim. They placed the ark of God on a new cart that they might bring it from the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill." This is where it had been left many years before that. "And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, were leading the new cart. So they brought it with the ark of God from the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, and Ahio was walking ahead of the cart. Meanwhile, David and all the house of Israel were celebrating before the Lord with all kinds of instruments made of fir wood, and with lyres, harps, tambourines, castanets, and cymbals." Picture this in your minds. There's a great celebration going on. They were worshiping the fact, they were worshiping God for the fact that here the ark was coming back to them, to Jerusalem. And the anger of the Lord, but when they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah reached out toward the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen nearly upset it. And the anger of the Lord burned against Uzzah, and God struck him down there for his error, and he died there by the ark of God. David became angry because of the Lord's outburst against Uzzah, and that place is called Perez Uzzah to this day. So David was afraid of the Lord that day, and he said, "How can the ark of the Lord come to me?" And David was unwilling to move the ark of the Lord into the city of David with him. But David took it aside to the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. Thus the ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. Let's stop there and ask ourselves, why is this specific story in the Bible? What are we to learn from it? Because as we know, every verse is there for our instruction, for our learning, for our correction. This story and all the verses in it are there for us to learn from. There's three lessons that I would like to point out, and there are more. These are just three things that came to my mind. And as we look here, the first one is that God must be honored at all times with the utmost of reverence and respect. And this is where we discover that what Uzzah did here was much more than just a mistake. This is not a case of forgetting to put the oil cap back on the engine. Instead, let's go back and read verse 7. It says, "And the anger of the Lord burned against Uzzah, and God struck him down there for his error. And he died there by the ark of God." When I left the oil cap off my car, God didn't strike me dead. Probably wasn't the most important thing to be paying attention to at that time, although it did make a mess and cause a lot of upset. But what was Uzzah's error? Uzzah died because of his irreverence. And the outward symptom of that irreverence was Uzzah's failure to obey the Lord's commandments. The instructions that God had clearly given his people of how the ark was to be transported. Now, many people today would say, well, that's just an Old Testament thing. The God of the Old Testament was a God of vengeance. And he was out to get the people. He was a mean God. But the God of the New Testament, Jesus Christ, is a graceful God. He's a peaceful God. He's a friendly God. But remind us that they are one and the same. That God who struck Uzzah dead was the Word. And Jesus Christ is the Word incarnate. And he is alive and well on the right hand of his Father in heaven. And hasn't changed since then. And never will. The idea is that we need to respect God absolutely. The same now as he expected then. You don't have to turn here, but think of the words in Hebrews 12, verse 28 and 29, where we read, therefore, since we receive a kingdom, yes, we are to receive a kingdom. We are to be part of the kingdom of God. That's the promise given to us, which cannot be shaken. Let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. Let me repeat, our God is a consuming fire. God's attitude hasn't changed. We are to approach God with reverence and awe in our hearts. We are not to take God's word and the things that we learn from God nonchalant. This is serious business. We are to fear God, not with a paralyzing fear, but with respect and reverence. The fear that causes us to do the things the way God wants them done. We need to pay attention to the details. We need to pay attention to the little things. And I'm not up here saying that we don't do that. But we need to focus on that. Because most of us by now have been living this way. And the big things, what we'll call the big things, we pretty much got down. You know, we don't celebrate Christmas. We don't celebrate Easter. We don't eat unclean foods. We keep the Sabbath. But do we follow all the details and do it exactly the way God would want us to do? And sometimes it takes study. Not sometimes, all the time. It takes study of God's Word to find out what those details are. And we need to pray to God to show us where we're lacking. We have a high bar to beat, that bar of Jesus Christ. And I know I've said this before, but I don't know about you, but I'm not there yet. And I'm not the only one to ever say that, but it's so true. We have to keep working at it every day. God struck down Uzzah for his error, for his irreverence. He took it lightly. The Bible says that we are to offer to God an acceptable service for reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. It also says, Jesus himself says, you are my friends if you do what I command you in John 15, verse 14. Also, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. We need to keep his commandments. It means in every detail of his commandments. Many today, if they even pay attention to the Ten Commandments, even a few of them, kind of think of it as a checklist. Yeah, I'm good on number four, I'm good on number seven, I'm good on this one, I'm good on that one. It's not just a checklist. God points out the details in his word. The Ten Commandments are just the surface. They're the highlight. God explains those in detail through His Word, and we are to study it daily to become more knowledgeable in God's ways and how we are to live. We are reminded how we are to live throughout the Bible, but I'd like to turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. In verse 13. Here we read, "Wherefore, girding up the loins of your mind, be sober and set your hope perfectly on the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As children of obedience, not fashioning yourselves according to your former lusts in the time of your ignorance." Verse 15, "But like as He who called you is holy, be yourselves also holy." In verse 14, it talks about your former lusts in the time of ignorance. You can look at that. That's before we knew better. And we are to be holy. We are to be set apart. God has set us apart. But the only way that we can be holy is to the extent that we live God's way and live by God's every commandment, every detail that God has set before us. Doesn't mean that we won't get it wrong sometimes, and that we won't fully understand it at the particular time. But we need to keep trying. We need to go to God and ask for forgiveness, ask Him to help us as we approach the Passover, especially. We need to search our hearts and our minds for those areas, for those crevices where we still have little things that maybe we're not quite doing the way we should be doing. And they've been bothering us a little bit. And we couldn't quite figure out why this keeps bothering us. Now's the time to ask God to make it clear. And be ready for what He makes clear. Also, in 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse 5, you don't have to turn there, I'll read it. "So ye also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." And in verse 9, and we just sang this in the opening set of hymns, "But you are an elect race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may show forth the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." We are called by God to be His servants. We are, He is the King, and we are accountable to Him and to Him only. And to the extent of our accountability, as we live the way of God, we have, once again, that great promise of eternal life, the kingdom of God. We have plenty to be joyful for. We have plenty to keep us motivated. We just need to keep at it. We need to endure. Well, the second lesson I'd like to point out is that there are no excuses that will override the importance of knowing and obeying what the Word of God actually says. Once again, here in 2 Samuel 6, we see this expressed. And the first excuse that we can draw from this is, we hear it from many people, "I'm sincere, but I have good intentions, but I am zealous. I'm doing all the right things." Well, let's just ask ourselves for a moment, once again, why is this in the Bible for us to read? What are we to learn from it? Was King David sincere? in his own mind, was Uzzah doing the right thing by reaching out and keeping the ark from falling? Were all these people along the way sincere in their religious beliefs? We looked here and we would have to say from what we read, yes, they were. It appears that they were doing what they thought was right. In fact, you can also see in 1 Chronicles chapter 13, verse 8, the people were celebrating with all their might. They were singing, they were dancing, they were playing musical instruments. Every fiber of their being, they were worshiping God. They were enthusiastic. And I would point out that this is a good thing for us to take note of. Are we enthusiastic when we sing hymns here on the Sabbath to God? Or do we know the hymns by heart and we don't necessarily think of the words that we're actually saying? We just know them and we just sing them. It's easy to fall into that. I find myself doing that. But that's part of our worship service to God. We need to think about the things that we're saying, just as we think about the things we're saying in our prayers. That singing is a prayer to God. It's our prayer as a congregation to God. He said, we have so many things to be happy for. And they were doing that. David and the people were happy. They were sincere. But when it really came down to it, they were sincerely wrong in what they were doing, what they did. Here they were carrying the ark on a cart. Where did they get that idea from? It seemed right to them, but they were specifically told not to do that. We're told specifically not to do certain things. Sometimes we just get it into our heads that we know better and we just go down our path. And just like here, most of the time, if not all the time, it doesn't turn out good. Not that we are killed instantly on the spot as Uzzah was. But we'll get to that in the third lesson. Good intentions don't override the necessity of obedience to the word of God. Sincerity is no excuse for disobedience. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the ways there are the ways of death. We heard last week, and I'll remind us that in 1 Samuel 13, Saul made an offering because Samuel didn't show up on time, even though he was told to wait for Samuel. And what had happened? People died. Once again, they didn't follow the details of the instructions that they were given. In that case, this would be in 1 Chronicles 13, verses 1 through 4. We see that, we'll read, then David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds, and even with every leader. David said to all the assembly of Israel, if it seems good to you, and if it is from the Lord our God, let us send everywhere to our kinsmen who remain in all the land of Israel, and also to the priests and Levites who are with them in their cities, with pasture lands, that they may meet with us, and let us bring back the ark of our God to us, for we did not seek it in the days of Saul. Then all the assembly said that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. Once again, it was right in the sight of all the people. That's another excuse. Well, everybody's doing it. But does that make it right? Is that what God said to do? David consulted with everybody, except he didn't consult with God, the one that really mattered. And as I said, As God says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. We need to make sure that we look into the details to the best that we can. You know, the Philistines brought the ark on a cart. Is that where David got the idea of hauling it on a cart? It's okay. They did it. Nothing happened to them. It's easy for us to do. Well, so-and-so did this or so-and-so did that. Nothing bad happened to them. It's okay for us. Yeah, let's do it. No. The lesson is, as we make decisions, let's remember that the number of people doing something doesn't make it right. Doesn't make it wrong either, but it doesn't make it right. Just because a minister says it up here, doesn't make it right. Doesn't make it wrong. But just because it's said doesn't mean that you don't look into it. We don't study God's word and understand it in the truth. That is the absolute truth. I'm not saying that anybody is preaching falsehoods, but it has happened. And we have to be careful. We have to look into the details. That doesn't mean we have to be disrespectful or anything else. We can question things, but we should do it in a right way. God expects us to do that. God expects us to search as the Bereans did. Search the details. Search the word. Understand it. Ask questions. We each need to understand, because what one person knows doesn't help another person make it to the kingdom. We all stand before God on that final day and that final judgment by ourselves for what we said and what we do, both good and bad. The third lesson from 2 Samuel chapter 6 is that there's value to God's discipline. Obviously, this is pretty painful for Uzzah. He paid the ultimate price there. He died. As I said, we all make mistakes. We all sin. We don't die on the spot. So I don't know of anybody personally that has died on the spot because of a sin that they've committed. But by doing so, we condemn ourselves to death unless we repent. That will be the second death. As I said, that the place that Uzzah did this was called Perez Uzzah, and that means a breakthrough of Uzzah. And as a result of God's discipline on that day, the people understood that God was to be respected. They saw what happened to Uzzah, and they understood after the fact what went wrong. David did. David was immediately angered, if we remember what we read. But then if we go back to 2 Samuel and we look at verses after that, I'm in 1 Samuel, that won't help. Go to 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 12. It says, "Now it was told King David, saying, 'The Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the ark of God.' So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David in gladness. And so it was, when those bearing the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, those bearing the ark. It wasn't on a cart this time. And they only went 6 paces before they stopped and they sacrificed oxen and fatted sheep. This indicates to me that David had researched this They went back to the law that was given to them, the instructions that were given, and they understood how it was to be done, and here they were following that instruction. Because of the discipline, the death of Uzzah on that day, they learned. And we can learn also from God's discipline in the Bible, God's personal discipline with each one of us. As God shows us when we do sin, however it's done, however he shows us that, what that leads to, that we need to change. We need to repent. We need to go to God. We need to ask him to forgive us. And he will certainly do so. But most importantly, we need to change. We need to do it differently, as David and the Levites here show that they had learned from this lesson. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, and verse 20, we read, "Those who continue in sin rebuke in the presence of all, so that the rest also will be fearful of sinning." It's important that we learn from each other, and that to the extent that we're able to, we share that. We do sin, we do make mistakes. And there are times when we're able to share that information with others. First we go to God, obviously, and we ask for his forgiveness and we change. But we can help others. We are in this together. It's not all of our own. And by doing that, just as Uzzah was an example for the rest of the people, we can be examples to each other. We can, simply by people noticing the way we've changed, they know that we're different, that we're following different instructions at that point. And I know I've heard many stories about people at work, recognize, yeah, you're different. And some of them at first say that kind of in a weird way, is it? Yeah, you're different. You're weird, you know. But then after a while, they get to know you, and it's a good weird. And with our families, our friends, everything. And so God's discipline does serve value to each one of us. Well, in conclusion today, we've looked at 2 Samuel 6 and the story that surrounds Uzzah in the ark. There were three lessons that I pointed out. There are other lessons. I'm sure if we study, we will pull out our own specific lessons. These are just three lessons that came to my mind as I was studying this. And the top line is we need to do it God's way, down to the little bitty instruction. We need to pay attention to the details. We need to be careful not to think, well, we'll just do it my way. That seems like it'll work better for us. As we approach Passover, I appeal to myself and I appeal to all of you that we should think about the example of Uzzah and ask our Father to give us discernment in the details of our lives as we follow after Jesus Christ's example. Ask God for the Spirit, His Spirit, of repentance in all things, great and small. We should each ask ourselves, are we living up to the stature and the measure of Jesus Christ? One last verse or two verses in Luke 12, verses 47 and 48. This is kind of a stern warning, reminder, advice. Luke 12:47-48. Here we read, "The servant who knows the master's will and does not get ready and does not do what the master wants will be beaten with many blows. 48, but the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with fewer blows. From everyone who has been given much," and you and I have certainly been given much. We've been given the calling of God. We've been given knowledge of the truth of God. "From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked." It's you and I. Just as we are, Uzzah was probably a very decent person, hardworking man, meaning well, but for whatever reason, maybe a little bit of peer pressure, maybe just ignorance of what God had actually said, maybe he missed out on that lesson in school. But for whatever reason, Uzzah disobeyed God in the details. And he paid the ultimate price. I would encourage each one of us not to make that mistake. And when we do make mistakes, that we immediately go to God, ask for a spirit of repentance, and we change. So that we can be accountable to the King and his kingdom that has been promised to us. Once again, God must be honored at all times with the utmost of reverence and respect. There are no excuses that will override the importance of knowing and obeying what the Word of God actually says. And there is value to God's discipline.